on the importance of these Taiwanese elections. I'm joined by Charles Burton. He's a China specialist who teaches political science at Brock University. He spent 4 years with the Department of Foreign Affairs stationed in Beijing, and he's in our Toronto studio this morning. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning.
All right, well, let's talk first about this assassination attempt. Do you think it's going to have a huge sway one way or the other on what's going to happen in the vote?
I don't anticipate that this event will have an impact on the overall outcome, although I think it's tragic that political leaders these days cannot go out in open cars without the risk of getting a bullet in their stomach.
But this is a very close election, is it not?
Yes, it is very close, and we really don't know what the outcome will be. And I think that the outcome will have very, very serious consequences for security in the region and, of course, globally as well.
But for those who may have been on the fence about whether to vote for President Chen, are they going to think that the Chinese are behind this assassination attempt and therefore find the courage to go out and vote for him?
I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the response. It could cow some people into thinking that they're playing
not.
With fire and they should vote for the nationalist candidate. So I would expect that if there's any kind of reaction among people, it may well cancel itself out. It's very hard to tell at this time, and we have no information on who fired the bullet that injured the Taiwanese leader.
All right. Let's talk about the two leaders and what their positions are and what they've been offering to the electorate.
Well, Mr. Lian Zhan, who's the nationalist leader, is the leader of the party that was the original government of China between 1911 and 1949. And his party's policy traditionally has been to reunify the country. Originally, it was an ideological struggle between the communists on the one hand and the American-backed nationalists on the other hand. Now that mainland China has abandoned the communist doctrine, it becomes a competing nationalism struggle between people in Taiwan who believe that Taiwan has never been part of China and should be an independent state, and people in China who fervently believe that that Taiwan is part of China's sovereign territory.
But who is supporting, then, Chen, and who is supporting Lian?
Well, I think it's hard to make a clear distinction. Certainly the people who support Chen are primarily people who lived in Taiwan prior to the arrival of the nationalists escaping the communists in 1949. So the population increased by 15% when the nationalists were pushed out of mainland China and resettled on Taiwan. But I think that there are a lot of people in Taiwan who are not necessarily of mainland descent who also support the idea that Taiwan is a part of China. And so it's not so clearly a distinction between the Taiwanese-born and the mainland-born. It's a much more complicated situation of competing histories about whether Taiwan should be a de jure independent state, as it's a de facto independent state, or whether Taiwan should move towards reunification with China, and now that China's no longer got a communist system, perhaps that there are more compatibilities between the two societies and Taiwan could successfully reintegrate into the motherland.
But business people seem to be a little more concerned about what would happen if Chen is to be reelected. That, you know, business has started to flow. There has started to be some trade between Taiwan and China, and I guess it's their concern that will just completely shut down.
Well, now China is Taiwan's major export market, so it's exceeded the United States. And there's an incredible statistic that there are 500,000 Taiwan passport holders resident in the city of Shanghai alone, which sort of blows your mind. And so the integration between the two economies is great. If China decided that President Chen is moving towards de jure independence for Taiwan, that is to say that he plans, if the referendum that's coming up with the election goes through, to have another referendum to establish a new constitution in 2006 that would have a different name for the country and a definition of the nation as being independent from China, then it's very likely that China would, in fact, invade Taiwan at enormous cost of life. And, of course, that would ruin business relations.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living in a war zone, obviously business is not going to happen.
Right. And what are the chances of that?
I
mean, is it going to be in China's interest to do something like that?
Well, it's clearly not in the interests of China in any sort of rational sense, but you're dealing with nationalism here. You know, why do people in Belfast kill each other or Kosovo? You know, the nationalistic motive transcends rationality. And also, because the people in China are so strongly in support of Taiwan returning to China, that if the mainland government was seen as letting Taiwan go, it would be perceived as going against the trend of China's return to greatness and overcoming the legacy of humiliation and colonialism that defined China since, say, 1840, the Opium Wars, until relatively recently. Moreover, if that happened, there are other parts of China where there are significant movements towards independence. The province, the autonomous region of Xinjiang, where the Muslims would like to establish a greater Turkestan, Outer Mongolia, which would like to reunify with, I'm sorry, Inner Mongolia, which is an autonomous region in China that would like to reunify with Outer Mongolia. A lot of people would support that. And, of course, the autonomous region of Tibet, where one would judge that most ethnic Tibetans would also like to establish an independent state. So if China showed that it was not willing to take extreme action to keep Taiwan as at least de jure part of China, then it could cause terrific problems for China and other regions. And so it's very unlikely that China would not be willing to pay the enormous cost of a war. Moreover, within the Chinese army, there's a perception that even if they invaded Taiwan, and there would be, of course, terrific foreign outrage at the needless deaths, the precedent of the 1989 Tiananmen suppression is there, and that the foreign community was appalled at the slaughter of students in Tiananmen Square in 1989. But about 3 years later, everything went back to normal and relations resumed as before. So there seems to be a feeling that China could weather this storm if it came to that, and that the United States would not be prepared to start a major military incident that would lead to loss of American lives over what could be described as essentially a domestic dispute between China and one of its provinces.
But why did some of the Taiwanese seem to feel that the U.S. would step in to help them? I mean, is this kind of a false hope that they have there?
Well, I think it is. President Bush, before he was elected, made a very strong statement of support to Taiwan. But when the Chinese president, Wen Jiabao, visited Washington last December, Mr. Bush backpedaled a long way and urged the leader of Taiwan, Mr. Chen, to not engage in any activities that would provoke China or influence the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And so my feeling is that because of the importance of China to the United States, which is now much greater than the importance of Taiwan to the United States, you have to bear in mind that Taiwan has a population of 23 million, and China's population is over 60 times that at 1.3 billion, and that the economic relations between China and the United States are very important to the United States, that I think it's possible when push came to shove that the United States would abandon Taiwan and allow the reunification on mainland Chinese terms.
Hmm. Now, when Chen came to power in 2000, China didn't make these kinds of saber-rattling noises. So why are they doing it now?
When Chen came to power in 2000, he promised that there would be no declaration of independence, no change in the state, in the title of the state, that he wouldn't change the constitution to show a state-to-state relationship between China and Taiwan, and that he wouldn't have a referendum on independence. Now Chen says that because China has been threatening Taiwan militarily, that his promises of May 20th, 2000, when he came into power, no longer apply. And I think that if the referendum is successful and the majority of Taiwanese electors say that they want their government to strengthen defenses against the Chinese missiles, that Chen could use this as a pretext to then have another referendum on the constitution. And at that point, China would feel that a line had been crossed that they could no longer tolerate.
Well, when we talk about how close this vote is, and we're talking about some 150 to 200,000 expats going back to vote. Now, they're not all going back to vote for Chen. Some are voting the other way as well. But, you know, what kind of influence could those expats have on this election tomorrow?
Well, there are about 16 million electors, and it's expected over 90% will go to the polls. And so it's, you know, the foreign vote, if it is predominantly pro-Chen, as it may well be, could in fact make the difference. There have been very close votes before. And of course, the question of say Canadian citizens voting in a foreign election is a complicated one, in the sense that these Canadians of Taiwan origin will not be bearing the consequences of their vote because they'll be flying back to Canada next week.
As Mr. Tai said, that he would be voting and then returning back to Toronto to run the association. So when you look at this, if you can be objective, what is the best outcome tomorrow for the Taiwanese people?
Well, I think I have no emotional play in this because China's not my country. I could understand that people who are so deeply concerned about their sense of national identity would have difficulty in making an objective choice. But I think in terms of promoting the peace and prosperity of Taiwan, the best thing would be, of course, not to have a war. And that probably the only solution would be for Mr. Lien to win and then to start negotiating the terms under which Taiwan could become part of China while maintaining the greatest degree of autonomy in terms of its political and economic system possible.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Charles Burton is a professor of political science at Brock University and a former diplomat with the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He was with me in studio.